Tuning in over your phones. If you have your Bibles with you, our call to worship will be from Psalms chapter 8. And our scripture lesson will be from Genesis. So if you have your Bibles with you, our call to worship will be from Psalms 8, verses 1, 3, 5, and 9. Scripture lesson this morning is Genesis chapter 1. We ask that you please place the elements for communion out in preparation for our time of Holy Communion. To each of you as we come on this Trinity Sunday for a celebration of Holy Communion. Let us begin with our call to worship, which is from Psalms chapter 8, verses 1, 3, 5, and 9. O Lord our God, how majestic is your name in all the earth. When I look at your heavens, the work of your fingers, what are mortals that you can care for them? Yet you have made them a little lower than God and crowned them with glory and honor. O Lord our God, how majestic is your name in all the earth. Let us worship God. Our opening hymn is Come Thou Almighty King, number 139. For those of you who have a Presbyterian hymn book at home.
Come now, Almighty King, help us thy name to see. Help us
Church will share with us the scripture lesson this morning from the book of Genesis, chapter 1 and chapter 2, excerpts from those two books.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I'll be reading from the book of Genesis, chapters 1, verses 1 through 15, 20 to 23, 27 and 28, and chapter 2, verses 1 through 4a. Listen to the word of the Lord. In the beginning, when God created the heavens and the earth was a formless void and darkness covered the face of the depth, while a wind from God swept over the face of the waters. Then God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And God saw that the light was good, and the good separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, the first day. And God said, "Let there be a dome in the midst of the waters, and let it separate the waters from the waters." So God made the dome and separated the waters that were under the dome from the waters that were above the dome. And it was so. God called the dome sky. And there was evening, and there was morning, the second day. And God said, "Let the waters under the sky be gathered together into one place, and let the dry land appear." And it was so. God called the dry land earth, and the waters that were gathered together he called seas. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, "Let the earth put forth vegetation, plants yielding seed, and fruit trees of every kind on earth that bear fruit with the seed in it." And it was so. The earth brought forth vegetation, plants yielding seed of every kind, and trees of every kind bearing fruit with the seed in it. And God saw that it was good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the third day. And God said, "Let there be lights in the dome of the sky to separate the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for the seasons and for the days and years, and let them be lights in the dome of the sky to give light upon the earth." And it was so. And God said, "Let the waters bring forth swarms of living creatures, and let the birds fly above the earth across the dome of the sky." So God created the great sea monsters and every living creature that moves of every kind with which the waters swarm, and every winged bird of every kind. And God saw that it was good. God blessed them and said, "Be fruitful and multiply and fill the waters and the seas, and let the birds multiply on the earth." And there was evening and there was morning, and the fifth day. So God created humankind in his image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the air and over every living thing that moves upon the earth. Thus the heavens and the earth was finished and all their multitude. And on the seventh day, God finished the work that he had done. And he rested on the seventh day with all the work that he had done. So God blessed the seventh day and hallowed it, because on it, God rested from all the work that he had done in creation. These are the generations of the heavens and the earth when they were created. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Thank you, Elder Stevens. And your icon is quite appropriate with the reading of creation. For those of you who are not on the internet, his icon is that of a spaceship, but it's one of the universe. It was the week of Christmas, 1968. Three men, Frank Borman, James Lovell, and William Anders, they left Earth for a breathtaking voyage around the moon and back. See, again, Elder Stevens, your icon was appropriate. Most of us remember this. It was 51 years ago. Within months after U.S. astronauts would actually set foot on the moon, but this was the pioneering effort. The takeoff was flawless. That is remarkable in itself, considering the problems in our space program over the years. It's hard to realize how quickly back then we came to take the concept of space travel for granted. Those early successes seemed so easy. This is Apollo 8 coming to you from the moon, reported Frank Borman, in the first of six telecasts beamed from the rocket to Earth. It was a stunning achievement for our space program. Something occurred on that first flight. Something occurred that will always make it memorable to many of us. On Christmas Eve, as the Apollo rocket closed in on the moon and the television cameras gave us the sharpest details of the moon's surface ever seen up to that time, Borman, Lovell, and Anders took turns reading the first 10 verses from the book of Genesis. Those verses, of course, begin with these words. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the faces of the water, and God said, let there be light. And there was light. What a wonderful passage. Think of the meaning of those words. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. Incredible. God spoke, and the world was created. This is the first thing we need to see. God spoke. Arthur David Needham, in his book Close to His Majesty, tells how, as a boy, he dreamed of one day being connected to something bigger and more powerful than himself. He dreamed of rolling down the highway high in the cab of an 18-wheeler or passing under the checkered flag of the Indianapolis 500. The closest he could come to such examples of unleashed power on his family's Southern California ranch, however, was a team of Missouri mules. You see, on their ranch, each year they had to spray some 60 acres of citrus trees with pesticide. They accomplished this task by using a ponderous spray rig pulled by a team of these mules. snapping the reins, young needmen would shout, "Yee-haw!" and watch those mighty mules lean forward and dig deep into the soft soil. The wheels would begin to lurch forward, and slowly they would start to roll. To be joined to something so powerful, even if it were only a team of mules. As a young man, this is how he thought of God. Into being. He thought about God just doing one movement and the world came into existence. But as he read the Bible more carefully, he discovered something quite different. He discovered that God only had to speak to accomplish his great feats. And God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. For the first time, he understood that the nature of the real power of God speaking. The heavens and the earth came into being with just a word from God. God spoke, and the world was created. What a magnificent thought. But there's more. God spoke again, and a nation was founded. God spoke to a nomad named Aaron and told him to go off to a country far off where he would be the father of a great people. That people, of course, would be the people of Israel, chosen by God to be a light to the nations. God spoke to Abram. Excuse me. God spoke to Abram, who we know as Abraham. And then God continued to speak to Moses, Elijah, Job, Samuel, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, and Isaiah, and Jonah, and Malachi, and many others whose experiences with God are recorded in our Bible. That's why this book is so precious to us. It's not a book of magic or even of hidden meanings. The Bible is not a book of philosophy, psychology, or science, though many books are on these subjects have been derived from the Bible. It's not a book to be waved around so you can take pictures in front of a church that you don't attend. The Bible is the record and testimony of God's speaking through the ages to men and women, seeking to communicate through this flawed humanity, his plan and his purpose. That's what God communicates. We do ourselves a great disservice by our neglect of this magnificent document called the Bible. I love the story about a Sunday school teacher who was trying to teach the Ten Commandments. She had a young class of students. She thought it would be most helpful if she provided them with some concrete illustrations. Early one Saturday morning, Billy's parents were going out, she said to her students. Billy's dad asked him to mow the lawn while they were gone. When his parents returned, however, the lawn had not been mowed. She asked the class which commandment Billy had disobeyed. Instantly, the class responded, "Honor thy father and mother." "Good," said the teacher. And she gave another example. Jessica was in a store with her mother. When her mother wasn't looking, Jessica slipped a candy bar into her pocket. "Which commandment?" the teacher asked. Quickly, the class answered, "Thou shalt not steal." "Great," the teacher said. And she continued, "Jimmy had a bad temper and he was mean. One day he got angry with his sister and grabbed her pet kitten. He then threatened to pull its tail off." This time the students were stumped. Finally, one little fellow piped up and shouted, "What God hath joined together, let no one tear apart." I guess that did apply to a new commandment. I'm not going to give you a quiz on the Ten Commandments this morning, but we do need to understand the Bible and see it as a living document. It's the very source of our life as a community of faith. It's not to be neglected or disregarded or disrespected or used for our own personal or selfish purposes, but it's to be used as a foundation and guideline, even though some statements in the Bible we will acknowledge because of the passage of time and we experience things now that back then they didn't even know about. We recognize that some things in the Bible cannot be taken literally, but still this document is a foundation of our faith and it's a guideline for our living. 200 years ago, there was a Scottish regiment quartered in Edinburgh Castle. Some of the officers were devout men. Each evening they gathered together and drank a toast. The toast went like this: "A clean sword and a dirty Bible." This might seem a little bit strange, and a strange toast indeed. A clean sword and a dirty Bible? The clean sword, though, referred to their hope that they would never have to use their swords in battle. The dirty Bible, on the other hand, referred to a Bible that had been smudged and tattered from constant use. The Bible was not simply a good luck charm to these soldiers. It was their confidence. It was their conscience and their constant companion. We'd do well if we were of that same mindset. The first major event in the ministry of Jesus was his baptism at the hand of John the Baptist. At that baptism, there was an unexpected guest speaker. You know the story. It was God. Remember, a voice came from heaven saying to Jesus, "You are my beloved son in whom I am well pleased." We don't know who might have heard that voice besides Jesus. Did John the Baptist hear? Did others who were also there to be baptized, did they hear? It makes no difference. What it signifies is this: God spoke in a special way to Jesus, his son. Remember those words as we begin with, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." John's gospel, which gives us our most complete understanding of Jesus' ministry, begins with the same three words, "in the beginning." Except John's writing begins like this: "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been. In him was life, and that life was the light of all humanity." The light John is referring to is Jesus. He is the Word of God. Jesus did not merely speak the truth, He is the truth. He did not merely show the way. He is the way. He does not merely show us how we may have life. Guess what? He is the life. A married couple was having problems, and they went to their pastor for counseling. At one point in the counseling session, the husband said to the wife, I give you everything that you've ever asked for. A new home, a new car, all the clothes you can wear. And the list went on. When he had finished, the wife said sadly, that much is true. You have given me everything but one thing. You haven't given me yourself. God didn't make that mistake. After he had given the wonder of creation, after he had opened us up a dialogue with humanity through the law and the prophets, after he did for us everything he could do, he went that one step further. He gave us himself. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That's the good news. Chuck Swindoll tells a true story about a kindergarten teacher who was determining how much religious training her new students had. While talking with one little boy, to whom the story of Jesus was obviously brand new, she began describing Christ's death on the cross. When asked by the little boy what a cross was, she picked up some sticks and fashioned a crude cross. She explained that Jesus was actually nailed to a cross, and then he died. The little boy, with eyes big as saucers, lit up and exclaimed, "Totally awesome!" Gospel is awesome. It's sad that many of us have lost the sharp edge to our faith that we once had, so that the magnitude of the truth of the gospel no longer speaks to us as it once did. In other words, it's old news that no longer excites us. It's like B.B. King saying, the thrill is gone. It's sad if we get to that stage where the gospel no longer excites us. You see, because God spoke and the world was created. God spoke and a nation was founded. God spoke and humanity was redeemed by the cross of Jesus Christ. But one thing more needs to be said. God speaks today and we find help for the living of life. Have you ever heard God speak? Sometimes he speaks to us in the beauty of the world he has created. Sometimes he speaks through the reading of scripture. Sometimes he speaks to us when we are in those quiet moments. And sometimes he speaks again through the reading of scripture. Norman Vincent Peale once told of a woman who had an 18-year-old daughter who went out riding and was thrown from her horse and killed. The mother had seen her ride away with her cheeks radiant and her spirits high. Now she saw her brought back with her eyes closed and her face was steeled in death. The mother could not accept her daughter's death. She could not recover from the blow. Deciding to go away to try to forget, she went to a quiet place in the country, but the awful memory went with her. Then as she sat in her room one evening, she took out her Bible and began to read. She read the first Psalm. Then, one by one, read each of the Psalms down to the very last word. And for those of you who know your Bible, that's 150 Psalms. But she read them down to the very last word. She finished. She shut her Bible. She sat quietly, lost in reflection. Then she said to herself with complete conviction, the men who wrote those Psalms knew about life. They went through suffering just as I am, and they found the answer, and so have I. And at that moment, the faith that had meant so much to her through the years returned, and she was able to pick up her life again. When the minister asked her exactly what the reading of Psalms had done for her, she replied, "They gave me the answer I was looking for, and I believed it. The God of the Psalms can be trusted." God speaks through creation. He speaks through the reading of Scripture. Sometimes he speaks through public worship. Well, not necessarily through the sermon. But please understand, each Sunday I try my best to bring you some word from God. I don't have a special pipeline. I'm just a human being. Even with my best efforts, on any one Sunday morning, I may not live up to your wave, to your expectations. I may not be on your wavelength. You might be in a completely different place than where I am. I might be just not connecting to you. God's word for your life may not come from the sermon. It may not come from the hymn. And then again, it may. God's word may come to you from Scripture. It may come to you from a prayer. It may come to you from the reading of the day. Or it may happen simply in the silence when we are bowed in prayer. But the most important thing that can happen to each of us is that whenever we finish worship, we should be able to say, "God spoke to me this morning." And you know, if we empty ourselves and surrender ourselves completely to Him, I believe God will speak. God spoke and the world was created. God spoke and a nation was founded. God spoke and humanity was redeemed. God spoke today. He speaks today, rather, and we find help for the living of our lives. You see, mighty things happen when God speaks. May God let it be for you this day. May you hear the voice of God. For when God speaks, great things happen for us collectively and for us as individuals. Amen. We turn to our joys and concerns for the day. We ask that our elders would share their concerns. We'll start with Elder Cheryl Morgan Duncan of United Presbyterian Church.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Let me just express our joy today for the fact that Teaneck Presbyterian Church extended the invitation to us to invite us to worship with them each Sunday since the COVID pandemic and we had to lock down. So thank you again for that, and thank you for welcoming us virtually, though it may be. I'd also like to express, let's pray for Joyce Dunn and her family. They're still grieving the loss of their loved ones, and you know, some members are still taking it hard, so we need to continue to pray for them. Let's continue to pray for the sick and shut-in of United Presbyterian Church, and also for the elderly members of United Presbyterian Church, and everyone in United Presbyterian Church who are experiencing hardship at this time. Let's continue to pray for them. Thank you.
Amen. Elder Harrison Butts, are there any concerns you wish to share this morning?
Good morning. No concerns from me.
All right, thank you. Elder England? Elder Chang-Soon?
Good morning.
Good morning.
At this point in time, I have no joys or concerns.
All right, thank you. And for our friends at United, the reason we call each one individually is because each elder is the head of, is part of a care team. And so we've asked our elders and deacons to communicate and to share the concerns of their particular care group, which represents the congregation of Presbyterian Church of Teaneck. Elder Matthias Fredericks. Elder Miller.
Good morning.
Good morning.
It was nothing specific, but there was a theme that I wanted to just share for a minute. I think we all are thankful for the ability to be able to, the fact that we live in places where we can actually socially distance and that we have the resources to sanitize at will. I don't think we should take that for granted. I think that was the theme when I was talking to people, how thankful they are that they have they're in a place and they have the resources. And by extension, we pray for those who, for many reasons, cannot socially distance or properly sanitize due to COVID-19, domestic violence, homelessness, and of course, the effects of the racial unrest that's happening in the country.
Great, thank you. As we see your image of the Golden State Bridge behind you. Elder Elizabeth Adapo.
I would like to share a joy. One of my good friends, who is a nurse at Holy Name, whose father was ill with COVID, admitted, and is now discharged home. And after a week, he came back negative and COVID-free. So praise the Lord for that.
Amen. Other joys and concerns. We share a prayer of concern and our condolences to Joyce Fannin and family as they grieve the death of her older brother, Joyce's older brother, Lieutenant General William Earl Brown Jr. of Virginia. He died quite unexpectedly on Thursday, and so we extend our condolences and prayers to our friend Joyce Fannin and her family. We also extend our condolences and our prayers to the nursery school that is in this building. They experienced the death of one of their teachers who had served for 30 years, one of their teacher of infants, and so she died. And if you pass down Teaneck Road, you'll see just a sign of memorial for her. We continue to pray with the Peter family as they mourn the death of Carl's mother, Dorothy, who's just shy of 100 years old. We continue to pray for all those who are anxiously waiting to get back to work, and some folks who are perhaps being a little premature when it comes to the social distancing and trying to keep safe. And we do encourage each of you to remain cautious and try to remain safe, because we are still in the middle of a pandemic. Even though spring has come or summer's just about here and people are getting out and things are opening up, we still need to be careful. So we continue to lift each of you up in prayer, even as you deal with your anxiousness. And as was said somewhere earlier, we continue to pray for those who suffer with the coronavirus and those who are sincerely trying to share a message through their protests. We lift them up in prayer this morning as well. We pray for those who don't get or understand the message. And we pray for those who are in the midst of this chaotic time that we find ourselves living in. So for each of these, for individuals, for us as a people collectively, let us pray. O God of promise and fulfillment, you called Abraham and Sarah and promised to make them a mighty nation. In them, all the families of the earth would be blessed. As they journeyed by faith, you never forsake them. You never gave up on your promise. They in turn called on your name and learned to believe in you. So we give you thanks for these foremothers and forefathers who are part of our family of faith. You sent your son Jesus to redeem us from sin. He was tempted and suffered, yet remained obedient even unto death. The grave could not hold him, for he stands by your side. We give you thanks that he atones for our sins and intercedes on our behalf. As he calls us into his household, Lord, we pray that you would help us to obey him through the guidance of your Spirit. Inflame us with the zeal for devotion to your way. Order our thinking and our acting so that our total behavior accords with what you command. We pray for those who serve Christ's household in other lands. We give you thanks for their courage, which remains a badge of their boldness. Lord, our world is in a state of unrest, not only over the coronavirus, but now the frustration over racial injustice has taken a center stage and being expressed all over the world. We pray for your healing peace for all of us, that we realize we are of the same blood, which makes us one despite our differences. Lord, bless us. Bless our leaders, our neighbors, our friends, and strangers with the good sense to realize that through you, we can find harmony. It will take work, and it will take understanding, but through you, Lord, it can be accomplished. As your people everywhere labor in the shadow of Christ's cross, we pray that you will bathe us in the radiance of your unending glory and mercy. Lord, this is our prayer. Amen. Let us prepare ourselves for the celebration of Holy Communion, and we hope that you've had an opportunity to gather your elements together. Didn't need to buy anything, whatever bread, whatever substance you have, or bread-like substance, your beverage is of your choice. We'll begin with a hymn of preparation, just two verses of Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. We lift our hands before you as a token of our love. And then the second verse is, gracious Father, we're so glad to be your children, gracious Father. We lift our hands before you as a token of our love, gracious Father, gracious Father. Children,
so glad to be your children,
gracious Father,
and we lift our hands before you as a token of our love, gracious Father.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is truly right and our greatest joy to give you thanks and praise, eternal and triune God. God, whom we worship as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. In Jesus Christ, you spoke the words that brought the world into being. By the Holy Spirit, you brought order out of chaos and breathed life into your creatures. In parental love, you stood by us in spite of our disobedience, correcting us with gracious reproof and welcoming us again into your loving embrace. Therefore, we praise you, joining our voices with choirs of angels, with all the faithful of every time and place, who forever sing to the glory of your name, saying, Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Christ is the bread of life. When we eat bread and drink of the cup, we proclaim our death in the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. On the night that our Lord was to be betrayed, he took bread. And when he had given thanks for it, he broke it, saying, This is my body broken for you. Take and eat of it, for as often as you do, you show my death and suffering until I shall come again. In like manner, he took of the cup, saying, This is the cup of salvation. Take and drink of it. Drink all of it. For as often as you do, you show my death and suffering until I shall come again. So we who are the believers in Jesus Christ, eat of the body that is broken, and we eat of the blood that is poured. Let us pray. Gracious God, pour out your Holy Spirit upon us, and upon these your gifts of bread and wine, that the bread we break and the cup we bless may be the communion of the body and blood of Christ. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, that we may be one with all who share this feast, united in ministry in every place. As this bread is Christ's body for us, send us out to be the body of Christ in the world. Hear us, Lord, as we pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. We invite you now to share in the bread, the body that is broken. Let us eat together. And just as Jesus shared with his disciples, we drink of the cup that is poured. And let us pray. O God, your Son Jesus prayed for his disciples and sent them into the world to proclaim the coming of your kingdom. By your Holy Spirit, hold the church in unity and keep it faithful to your word, so that breaking bread together, we may be one with Christ in faith and love and service now and forever. Amen. Precious Jesus, we're so glad that you've redeemed us, precious Jesus. We lift our hands before you as a token of our love, precious Jesus. And then, Holy Spirit, come and fill our hearts anew, O Holy Spirit. And we lift our hands before you as a token of our love. Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit.
Precious Jesus, precious Jesus, we're so glad that you've redeemed us, precious Jesus, and we lift our hands before you as a token of our love. Precious Jesus, precious Jesus. Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, come and fill our hearts anew, O Holy Spirit. And we lift our hands before you as a token of our love. Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit.
Prior to are announcing the benediction, we just want to remind those of you who may have received word, but to share with you, to share with others, that there will be a silent vigil entitled Standing Against Racism and Racial Violence Against Black People. This will be held at Votee Park in Teaneck at 5:00 on Tuesday, June 9th. You will assemble at the band shell, receive a prayer card, walk, and pray. It's a silent vigil, and they ask that you still wear a mask and gloves, always observing social distancing. And for those of you who will not be able to come, who will practice self-quarantine, you are asked to offer your prayers at that time, 5:00 on Tuesday, June 9th, a prayer to stand against racism and against violence. Now, let us be dismissed. Go out into God's world as those born of water and spirit. Go as those inspired and excited to know that God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world. No, in fact, our God sent Jesus into the world so that the world might be saved through him. Go as those living in the mystery of the creature, Christ, in the mystery of the Holy Spirit. Go knowing you are loved and you are called to love each other. And let the people of God say, Amen.
Amen.
We invite you to unmute yourself if you would like, and if you want to just talk across the screen or talk to each other or talk to a voice on the other end of your telephone, you may unmute yourself at this time. Those on the computer, you simply need to tap on the microphone. Those on the phone, you need to hit *6 to unmute if you would like to just share a word with those on the other who are sharing worship with you this morning.
Thank you, Pastor. One more time. Mm-hmm.
We get on there.
Here's from 40, everyone. I thank all the members at TNEC who have invited us in from United. Thank you again.
You're welcome, and we're so glad that you're able to join us. Sister Fannin, we're glad to see you on this morning. And our condolences. Amen.
Good morning, Pastor Tate. Ms. Blaine Shaw here.
Good morning. Heather's just got excited to hear your voice.
Hi. Hi, Heather.
Missed you.
And choir members, I miss you too.
Okay, Blaine Shaw is one of our soloists, and we are so glad to hear your voice this morning.
Pastor Tate.
Yes.
Marion, let us all keep the King family in prayer.
All right.
I don't know where they have gone to.
Norma and Roy King, we will keep them in our prayers. Thank you.
Hmm. Pastor Tate, Beth Anderson, enjoyed the service this morning. Thank you.
So good to, after talking with you this week, Mrs. Anderson, good to hear your voice.
Okay.
Peace be with you all.
Same.
Mr. Robinson, we're glad to have you.
Hi, Bessie, it's Denise.
Say thank you, everyone, for your prayer.
You're so welcome.
Thank you, Lou. Thank you, Pastor Tate.
You're welcome. I can imagine losing a sibling is a hard thing.
That's it. I'm the last one.
So our prayers are with you. Sister Dorothy, we're glad to see you this morning as well. And you all have to excuse me. I got strangled during the service, so I didn't want to be too uncouth and gulp down a whole bottle of water. I was trying to be ladylike.
I was saying, drink some water, drink some water.
But I was trying to be ladylike as I did it. So what can I say?
Okay.
All right. So peace be with you all.
You too. Peace be with you.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.